Well, we were originated in about 1954, and we were established by Lutheran churches across Montana to serve all kinds of community needs, just depending on what the times required. And so initially, we did a lot of work with Lutheran disaster relief. We've done some work with refugee resettlement, but kind of the crown jewel of our work is that we operate a statewide adoption agency.
I know this is a very general, broad question, but tell us about the kids in the foster care system. Generally speaking, what are their ages, circumstances? How do they end up there?
Well, what we do is specialize in infant adoption. So most of the work that we do is with birth mothers who come into us who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, and they tell us that they want to explore the two options, whether they want to go forward with an adoption or if they want to try to parent the child. So we call ourselves options counselors, and we work with them at their pace throughout the course of their pregnancy to help them make their decision. And if they make the decision to adopt a child, we also, on the other side, are working with adoptive parents who are involved with the birth mother generally from about a month before her due date forward. So we practice open cooperative adoption. Our adoptive couples meet our birth mothers and get to know each other before the baby shows up. And then often our adoptive couples are right there at the hospital when the baby's born. So they meet the baby within a few minutes or hours of birth.
And that's a month before birth, is that right?
Yeah, for the most part. We try to have them meet up a month before the baby shows up. Sometimes we have what we call surprise babies, where we'll get a call from a hospital saying, yes, a young lady has just delivered a baby and she'd like to talk to you about placing this child adoptively. So in that case, we don't have the pre-meeting, but we like it. We like establishing that rapport between our moms and our adoptive couples before the baby shows up.
Why establish that rapport? Why not just go into it? What's the phrase? Blind, I guess.
Well, you know, historically there was no relationship between adoptive couples and the person who placed her baby with them. And we found that it's really helpful in the development of the child for the adoptive couple to say, oh, you know, I met your mom when she was pregnant with you, and talk a little bit about those circumstances. It gives the child a real stronger sense of his or her roots and the fact that, oh, my mom was a living, breathing person who, you know, had this nice relationship with the people who are my parents now. And so we find that's a nice beginning. It quells the fears of the birth mom because she has the chance to meet the people who are going to be parenting her child. And that often is kind of a reality check for her. Like, these are the people who my baby's going to live with, and I like them, and so this is going to be a good decision for me to make. So, and it also helps quell the fears of the adoptive couple, because they often have their own image of what the mother of the baby might be like. And to have everybody sit around a table and talk to each other and see that we're all humans and we're, you know, working out this beautiful arrangement for this baby, it's generally a really nice opportunity to get this adoption rolling, you know, in the right way.
Is it ever a good idea to have a relationship between the birth mother and the baby, or the child and the parents, you know, as the years go on? Is that ever an option or not?
It is an option, and it's interesting. We have the wide spectrum of people who take advantage of that option in a good way. We've had adoptive fathers walk a birth mother down the aisle when she gets married. We've had a lot of cases where our children know their birth mom. They may call her birth mom, or they may call her by name, and she comes in and out of their lives, sometimes for birthdays. They exchange Christmas gifts. The literature tells us that the more relationship there is between the birth mom and the child that she chose to place for adoption, the better the child's chances are of not falling into some of the traps that happen to adopted children, you know, just a lifetime of feeling rejected or feeling that they were not wanted or any of those things. So it's really very healthy when it can happen.
Boy, it doesn't get complicated, huh?
We can complicate it as adults, but as far as the child's concerned, it's not complicating or confusing. It's just what life looks like to those children.
How do you all help a birth mother sort out what she wants to do, even, you know, before she's convinced she wants to go ahead with an adoption?
Well, we're required by law to see them for 3 hours before they can legally terminate their parental rights, and some of our birth moms will spend 20, 30, 40 hours with instead. And we kind of walk them down financial decision-making. This is what it costs to raise a baby, you know, that sort of thing, sort of the more pragmatic stuff. And then emotionally, you know, what were your plans before you found out you were pregnant? Are you going to be able to go forward with those plans? And what do they look like if you have a child in the middle of all this? And we try to be as neutral as possible, because the last thing we want to do is have a mother reluctantly place her child. So we work pretty closely with her. And what we often see is that she vacillates over the course of our counseling. We always take their temperature, like, are you 50-50 adoption and parenting? Are you 80-20? You know, and it's interesting to watch that change over the course of her pregnancy. Sometimes they'll come to us when they have very first found out they were pregnant. So we'll have 9 months of this really sort of interesting fluctuation back and forth. And what we always know is that whoever she is and however convinced she is that she wants to place her baby adoptively, we all have to wait until she gives birth to the baby, because actually delivering the baby and holding the baby is a game changer for a lot of women when they realize, you know, there's hormonal issues, there's evolutionary reasons why it makes good sense for her to hold on tight to that baby. So we make sure that our adoptive couples know that, and that our birth mothers are aware that their feelings are going to be fluctuating through the process. And then when they finally deliver the baby, we wait. Law requires that the birth mother cannot relinquish her parental rights until 72 hours have passed. And so during that 72 hours, it gives her a good time to make a fully informed choice. And sometimes all of our going back and forth kind of goes out the window, because she delivers her baby and it doesn't feel like something she can comfortably do.
How do they find their way to your all's doorstep? I mean, they have so many options between outright termination and adoption. How do they find their way there?
You know, it's a phenomenon. It's not always easy to understand. And I would say that even though we're the age of the internet and all of that, I would say the vast majority of our moms come to us through word of mouth. We have a lot of couples in Montana who've adopted babies. We have a lot of birth moms who have chosen to make an adoption plan for their children. And often they talk about it, and the word gets through to the other people who are interested in making those same choices.
We've talked about adoption, successful adoptions. Meantime, there are a lot of children in Montana who have not yet been adopted, right?
Correct. And we have a recruiter, actually, in through Lutheran Social Services, who's funded by a grant from the Dave Thomas Foundation. And in fact, we just were notified yesterday that we received the grant again for next year. And her job is to travel around eastern Montana and work with some of these older kids who've been in the foster care system, whose parental rights have been terminated. And through the Wendy's Wonderful Kids program, she works to try to find adoptive couples that are willing to take some of these older children.
That sounds like a tough job.
It's a tough job. It's a real roller coaster. A lot of these children have been in and out of foster homes for much of their lives, and they're really looking for a forever family. And some of the kids, some of her kids on her caseload are 15, 16, 17 years old, and at risk of aging out of the system and not ever having a home to go back to. So we'll place a child, you know, a 17-year-old with an adoptive couple and have them adopt him just so he has somewhere to come home from college or somewhere to go for Christmas. You know, some of these kids' needs are so intense just to have a family, to feel like they come from somewhere. And so it's really hard work, but it is so gratifying when we can place one of the children.
And there's probably a perception among the general public that the older the kid in the foster care system, the bigger the potential for problems, troubles, things like that.
Yeah, it makes sense that a lot of these kids have been through an awful lot, but we haven't met anyone who doesn't wholeheartedly want to find a forever family. And it makes us really happy to be able to find the right match. A lot of our adoptive couples, they provide therapeutic households, and they're very aware of the issues that come with some of these kids, and there are all kinds of resources in the community to help. Sometimes finding the family that's actually going to love you can put you back on a good track as well.
How do these kids get in the system and stay there for so long? Is there a typical story?
You know, that probably isn't in my realm of knowledge. I think a lot of them are removed from the home by DPHHS, and then the parents, the biological parents, have about a year to try to rehabilitate themselves and get themselves into a good place where they can actually raise the child. And so you see a lot of these parents making real goodwill attempts to try to raise their child or to get custody back of their child, and sometimes it fails. And when that happens, then it's just a matter of finding the right home for the child and finding the couple that's willing to adopt.
Yeah. Ms. Abel, I don't know if you know this, but what do we know about young people who age out of the system? What are their chances for a successful life?
Children who age out of the foster care system really do tend to struggle. There's a much higher level of unemployment, much higher level of addiction. Many of these kids drop out of school without completing. So I would say that a lot of the people who age out of the foster system become some of our biggest challenges as a society, which is another reason why it's such a good, it's a good reason to try to place children when we can.
Who makes good parents then, good adoptive parents?
Someone who's willing to love the child no matter who he is.
You're asking a lot, huh?
It's what we do as biological parents as well. You know, we certainly, you know, in Lutheran Social Services and through the state, we certainly closely screen everyone who comes to us and says they're interested in being a foster parent or an adoptive parent. And we do criminal background checks and, you know, everything that you would expect us to do to be sure that the baby or the child is going to be safe. But in the big picture, there are so many people out there who are just yearning to have a child. And it's a beautiful thing when those people are actually able to have a child come into their home, and it's an invaluable thing to the child who's found a place to live for the rest of his or her life.
And again, is it a lengthy and expensive process to go through this if you've made that huge decision?
To go through adoption through Lutheran Social Services, we've actually planned it out carefully. So the amount of money that our adoptive couples pay us is actually returned to them through the federal adoption tax credit. So we charge basically the equivalent of what the adoption tax credit would be. When the adoptive couple submits their taxes, then over the next 5 years, all of that money is returned to them.
Okay. Where do people begin this process?
Adoptive couples can contact Lutheran Social Services at any of our five offices, and we have offices in Kalispell, Missoula, Great Falls, Bozeman, and Billings. We can be found on the internet. We even have an 800 number you can call if you wanted to get in touch with one of our counselors.
And that number would be?
That number is 1-800-726-3083.
Executive Director of Lutheran Social Services of Montana, Catherine Sable, thank you so much, and thanks for the work you do, too.
Okay, thank you.